The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, so we got some sports to talk about from last night and the weekend. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero in the snow park, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports, sports, sports.
Yeah, a lot of sports. A lot of sports to get to today. How was your weekend? Baseball?
Yeah. Yeah, baseball. Got rained out Saturday, so I had to play a full tournament in one day.
At least you had a nice day for it Sunday.
Beautiful day yesterday. And our boys won again.
Nice.
So, yeah. Back in the winning ways.
Very quiet weekend for me. I went to spend a lot of time with my kids and then had an appearance at Sam Houston Saturday night, which was a lot of fun. Met some cool people out
there. How was Shooter Jennings?
I did not stay for Shooter.
No?
No. I just went home and we hung out and watched watched that Amazon show Bosch. I watched a few of those. Those are pretty interesting. He's a detective in L.A.
Hmm. And, is it like a serious show?
It's serious.
Is it a drama or a comedy?
It's a drama with some comic elements.
Well, I don't want that.
I like detective type stuff.
I do too, but I want it to be like True Detective where there's murder.
Oh, there's murder. There's violence. There's a little kid that gets whacked in the first episode.
Okay.
And that's a good start, right?
To show boobs?
Kind of not really small.
I mean, this is a yes or no. Is there nudity?
There's semi nudity, but it's not anything. It's not anything you want to see because the couple having sex is not really anyone that I want to see naked.
Okay,
but so far been interesting.
Okay,
but that was it. Didn't do anything this weekend other than go to the track and get my butt kicked again.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
you in a slump?
I am in a slump. Okay. Well. Why am I hearing? I'm hearing a total echo in my head here, including people talking outside.
Oh, yeah, there's people. There's a lot of people outside.
Yeah. What's going on with this? Do we know? I mean, these aren't my headphones. Maybe that's the problem.
Is the TV on?
No.
No,
it's just a lot of people outside. That's really mostly what I hear.
Yeah, the loud people outside are coming through. And plus, it just sounds like there's an echo. I'm curious if I sound normal on the air, but in my head, I sound terrible.
Yeah, well,
more so than usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be the headphones.
It could be.
Did you get new ones?
No, I used the ones that were here because I forgot that I broke mine Friday. And so it's really stupid because I went to a store where I could have bought them because I needed some Icy Hot after I went to the gym. And so I stopped by Walgreens and they've got plenty of them. But no, I didn't even think about it until I got here. And it's like, oh, bleep, I don't have headphones. Son of a...
Whoops.
Yeah. But I'll have new ones tomorrow. 713-780-3776. So where do you want to start today? You want to start with your Rockets? You want to start with the,
I mean, I think the Rockets are the place to start.
Yeah.
The playoffs are underway. NBA basketball actually matters now.
I'm going to make bold statement, hot take thing here.
Okay.
Yeah,
Give it to me.
I always say that the NHL playoffs are more interesting than the NBA playoffs. Weekend one here. NBA a lot more interesting than the NHL. Considerably.
I'd agree.
The games and that Boston Milwaukee game, the game last night, which we'll talk about in depth, certainly was
Pacers close. Wrecking the Cavs.
Yeah, I mean that you didn't see that coming, and I think there was some, just some really intriguing results that make you go, hey, yeah. Well, the Thunder beating the Jazz too. I mean, there are just a lot of interesting games.
So. Yeah, it was a good start, and I guess we'll see. There's only two games tonight. This is driving me crazy. Why not just play four games again tonight?
Well, I'm done with complaining about that because I realized that today. If I came in and said anything about how, well, the Rockets don't play again until Wednesday, that's We have complained about this every single year that we've done this show.
How absurd is it?
It's absurd.
That there's no travel, but they don't play again until Wednesday.
Well, it's been that way for so long. It's never going to change. It's frustrating because they really do have some momentum after this weekend, the NBA playoffs as a whole.
Yeah.
I thought. What was your one takeaway?
My one or from the Rockets or the whole weekend?
Let's talk about everything else first, and then we'll get to the Rockets because the Rockets will need to dive into a little more.
I guess if I had to go with the Pacers, what they did was pretty impressive. But I kind of think the thing that stood out to me and was kind of that seems more like it was it looked like the Warriors kind of flipped the switch, and even shorthanded they beat the snot out of San Antonio. So I don't know if they've been playing possum on us or what, but they look like they're back in the saddle. And the other thing was Philly and how that game was close for most of the game. Yeah. And then after halftime, it was just like, okay. In fact, the Heat were winning at halftime. And Philly said, no more of that. And they rolled them. So Philly, they're just a machine right now. But like you said, I really think there's at least some sort of interest or drama in pretty much every game from the weekend. I thought that there was that every game was either close or I guess the Warriors is the one game that would be the exception or the Sixers.
Yeah.
They were either close.
Well, the Sixers game was close to a point.
Yeah, it was close for a while.
Yeah.
Or there was the better team was on the ropes at some point. Yeah. And, you know, that Pelicans Blazers game was so good. Yeah,
the Bucks Celtics. Yeah. That game goes overtime. And even Toronto and
Toronto and Washington was a good game.
Yeah, called that one, by the way.
I did.
You did say Washington was going to play them tough in that series.
And Jazz Thunder is going to be a good series, I think. I think those two teams are pretty even. There's a lot of, and I guess this is the thing we didn't think about with 3 through 8 being all bunched up. There's a lot of like coin flip type series here. Like the seeding next to your name doesn't really matter unless you're Houston, Golden State.
I would not be shocked if the Wizards beat Toronto.
Houston losing and Golden State losing would be the only things that really shocked me. The Cavs losing to the Pacers would surprise me, but not shock me.
I think they'll be fine, but
yeah, I'm not going to hit the panic button, but yeah, I mean, but
the Cavs played like garbage, and
the weird thing was the Cavs just didn't score. Yeah. I mean, if the Cavs had gotten blown, like if had they lost by 18 points, but it was 103 to 121, I'd be saying, uh-oh, they can't stop Indiana because they suck on defense and Indiana can score. But the Cavs scored 29 points in the first and fourth quarters combined. That's just not going to happen.
That's below average.
That's not going to happen consistently. Yeah. So I think the playoffs so far, I mean, granted, it's been 2 days. I think it's been interesting.
Well, yeah, but I'm always the first one to admit, man, I never pay attention to these early games. I was mesmerized this weekend.
Well, because they were close games worth watching.
And for once, we're getting, I think, compelling series, at least for the first game. And that could easily change on everything.
Of course.
But, I mean, a lot of these hockey series have just been garbage. And usually, you know, I said usually I'm all about those, but you've got a bunch of teams up 2-0. And they've dominated the other team. So I will say one thing about that. Congrats to the Vegas Golden Knights for going up 3-0 on the Kings. I didn't think they had any chance of beating those guys. And they won all three games by one goal. But they've been great. But the rest of them, man, it hasn't been interesting.
Nope.
And, you know, because the Preds aren't going to lose to the Avalanche. It's like, you know, it's nice that they played them close. It's cute. You know, and it's nice that Minnesota got a win against Winnipeg finally, but they're not going to beat those teams. So it's just like, let's just move on to the next round where it'll be more interesting. I'm going to watch NBA. I'm all excited about it. And you got Miami, Philadelphia tonight, and you got San Antonio, Golden State.
Boy, LaMarcus Aldridge, if San Antonio is going to have a chance, LaMarcus Aldridge has to be more like the LaMarcus Aldridge that clowned Dwight Howard a couple years ago in the playoffs than what he looked like against JaVale McGee the other. I mean, he was useless. And even there were some points in that game where Klay Thompson was checking LaMarcus, and they wouldn't even go to him. It's it's bad at that point. So I mean they've taken him away, and if they don't have him and they're counting on Manu Ginobili for scoring, they're in trouble.
And you know, that'll dovetail into the Rockets discussion, which I think we can probably get more into next segment. But there was a lot of times last night, Karl Anthony Towns, who only went up with 8 points, was posted up on little guys, and they just wouldn't throw him the ball.
Yeah, he struggled.
And I think that's that was one of the takeaways I had from it, is I think that they've got to get more out of him. But the one thing about the Rockets game, I don't think the Rockets can play much worse than they did last night, and they still won.
Yeah.
And Harden was terrific. And one of the things that concerns me about end of games is they do a lot of that, dribble the clock down, and then Harden takes a shot. And if he's not making them, they tend to lose.
Yeah.
But last night he was. Chris Paul's not going to be as bad as he was. He had 6 turnovers, including that one at the end that gave him a chance. I mean, what the hell was he doing there?
Are you sure he won't?
He's not going to have 6 turnovers again. Didn't have them all year.
He hadn't been in the playoffs all year.
Yeah.
Welcome to playoff Chris Paul.
I think he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
But it did, when you were watching that game, didn't you say, man, this looks like playoff Chris Paul?
He looked, well, you know what? He looked slow. He looked really slow last night. And I don't know if it was just who he was matched up with or what, but he just looked like he was a step slow on everything. And the Rockets are not going to shoot 3 for 25 from 3-point line when you take James Harden out of the equation, which is what happened last night.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen again. So I think...
I mean, it was a two-man show yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Capella played well.
Capella played well in the first half, but he didn't do much at all in the second half.
And James Harden dominated.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it was... That game, it's the whole thing was just bizarre. Like, the whole finish was bizarre. And, I mean... I everybody forgets that there's the ball's live on a missed free throw.
That's the thing. That whole sequence there, this is the one thing that concerns me about this team, and not necessarily in this series, but down the road, you got a 5-point lead there. I think it was 7 points, right? And then the missed free throw where they're all standing around.
Right.
I mean, that was a free 2 points the other way.
It was.
But it made the game tight.
And it should have been a travel, really, on Karl Anthony Towns, who was just, like, trying to hand the ball to the ref. Like, it should have been a travel, but then it wasn't. And I don't know who to blame. I don't know who was at fault. Like, if the refs – because they said the refs called out one shot or something. I don't know what happened, but it was really weird. And then,
but there was no awareness. Somebody's got to be back. Somebody's got to get back on defense. I mean, that they just gave him 2 points there on a fast break.
And then the way the game ends, Harden, who there's no free shots in the NBA. Harden, on a night where he was on fire, had his best look of the night and missed it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no. And then Chris Paul, it was a point of the game where Minnesota was about to be forced to fouling.
Yeah. But that's all he's got to do is basically they have to foul him, or at worst you're going to get a 10-second and you can throw it away. He wasn't close to that.
And he takes like 3 dribbles and sort of like no look wings it.
Yeah.
And I don't know who it was intended for, but it wasn't close.
Well, and he had the other turnover right a couple of minutes before that where he's just trying to do everything by himself and bounces a ball off his foot. Very sloppy.
And
very
now
sloppy with the ball.
Minnesota's got, I mean, it's a one-shot game. There's seconds left, and Minnesota's got the ball all of a sudden, and you're like, what the hell just happened here? Luckily, Jimmy Butler took one of the worst shots of the day, and I'm pretty sure he had a foot on the line anyway.
Yeah.
And so if it would have gone, I don't think it would have mattered, but it wasn't even close to going. It was an air ball by about a yard. He does like the completely unnecessary spin-a-rooney move, and I don't know what I don't know if he was trying to get on ESPN on SportsCenter, what his deal was, but that was just bad. And again, like you said, how many times is Houston going to go 3 for 25 from 3 outside of Harden?
Yeah. And I mean, that's not going to happen again. And I do think Chris Paul will play better.
If he doesn't, then maybe it's interesting. Yeah. But again, I'm not one of these guys who's like, should we be panicking?
No.
But it did kind of feel like the Rockets got away with it last night, like a game that they should have coasted to.
Yeah.
They almost gave away at the end, and Minnesota just wasn't, they weren't willing to accept the prize.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it felt to me. That's
kind of how I thought, and it's like, okay, if you get out with that, you're fine.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, let's get out there Saturday, April 28th. From 2 to 5 p.m., the Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries are inviting you to spend a day sampling over 72 of the best craft beers. They've got a ton of breweries out there, guys. Eighth Wonder is going to be there, Alamo, Austin East Siders, Buffalo Bayou, Deschutes, Galveston Island, Carbach, Lagunitas, Live Oak, Saloon Door, Real Ale, Spindle Tap, Southern Star, and so many more. It's going to be a great time. You can buy advance tickets now for only $44.95 a person, $39.95 for Landry Select Club members, or if you have a military ID. They'll be $49.95 the day of the event. Admission includes beer samples, giveaway from beer vendors, and food samples. There's live music all day long. You can purchase your tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on site at multiple ticket booths at the Kema Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase, and of course, you must be 21 years of age to attend. And for you real craft beer enthusiasts, 1 p.m., you can take the Craft Beer Fest cruise on a yacht, or you can sign up for the Craft Beer Hotel Package, which includes a one-night stay at the Boardwalk Inn and two tickets to the festival. Go to KemaCraftBeerFest.com for all the details. That's the Kema Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, April 28th, from 2 to 5 p.m.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, the one, I did kind of five observations on SportsMap today, so go check it out, sportsmap.com. Really, really cool website. But one of the things that, you know, I kind of looked at was, okay, so where can the Wolves get better in game two?
Well, I mean, obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns can perform significantly better than he did.
You're not going to get 16 points out of Derrick Rose again, I don't think, though.
I wouldn't think so.
Because I think the Wolves actually played pretty well, except for the fact that they didn't take advantage of those mismatches with Karl-Anthony Towns. And I don't know if that was him. I don't know if that was them not throwing him the ball, because it looked like he had matchups against guards down low a lot. And yeah, I don't know. And of course, I know Barkley and all those guys kept saying it over and over again, get him the ball down there.
Yeah.
But there were also a couple times he wasn't working that hard to get position, even though he was on a smaller guy. So I don't know what caused that, but I'm sure that he's going to see the ball in the paint more.
I would agree. And you say, well, it's unlikely you'll see 16 points out of Derrick Rose. Dude got 24 minutes on the floor. That's a lot of time for him. And just like it's unlikely we'll see 16 from Derrick Rose again, I'd say it's unlikely we'll see 8 from Karl-Anthony Towns.
Right.
And it's unlikely we'll see 13 from Jimmy Butler again. Both those guys had off nights for sure. Of the big three for Minnesota, the only one who even had a decent night was Andrew Wiggins. And he was good. He wasn't great. He was good.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to take a lot away from this game, because neither team played that well. You know, like
I would say the T-Wolves probably played closer to their best than the Rockets did to anything near their best, though. And that's why I'm not too worried about the rest of this series. And I think you're going to see some good adjustments from both coaches. But I think this might be the closest game you see in this series.
The frustrating thing for, if you're a Rockets fan, is Minnesota's horrible on defense. Like, that's the if this game was going to be close,
which is odd considering who coaches them,
right? I would have said maybe it's 117-120 if it's going to be a close game. For the Rockets to put up 104, man, it takes a pretty bad effort against this team to put up 104 when you're the Rockets. Like, 104 is like that's been their third quarter score for a lot of games.
3 for 25 will do that for
That'll
you.
That'll do it,
and,
man.
And the thing is, it wasn't that the Wolves were playing that great a perimeter defense. They just weren't making their threes.
Weren't making them.
There were a lot of them that were going halfway down and coming out. And I don't think you're going to see that again. But I think it's kind of a tough matchup for the Wolves because the Rockets are going to start hitting their threes, and when they do, I just don't think Minnesota can keep up with them.
I'm with you.
But I do like Minnesota's team, and I think they've got a chance to get to be a really good team in a year or so. They can tweak a few things, but I think this series is a bad matchup for them. Unless the Rockets have decided, okay, we forgot how to shoot threes, we're going to do this every game, and it might get interesting.
But I mean, I would warn you, let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet. I mean, I don't think there's any way they lose this series, but again, this goes back to when guys historically have struggles in the playoffs, and then the first game, it's like, oh boy, what is that? It could be mental. I don't know. And same goes for D'Antoni, not just Chris Paul, but D'Antoni as well. The other thing that kind of is concerning, I would say, if you're the Rockets, is you made 16 free throws in the game, which is pretty far below their average, and you missed a lot of free throws. Like, you know, Trevor Ariza is missing free throws, and but James only getting to the line for nine shots.
Man, that's kind of...
That's playoff basketball.
Yeah. And he's not going to get all the calls that he got during the regular season. But the playoff elimination Harden and playoff D'Antoni and playoff Chris Paul, I think that's all legitimate, but I just don't think it's legitimate in this series.
I don't either.
And I think it's something that, you know, you get into the next series and maybe that one's a little, you know, maybe that one turns out to be more difficult and you get pushed a little bit, then I think we'll see. But I fully don't intend to see any of that until they play Golden State.
Well, here's what I would warn. If James Harden has to shoulder the load like he did tonight for every playoff game, when they get late in the playoffs, it's going to be tough. His legs are going to be tired. It's going to be tough.
And that's why I was saying all along, you want to get these early series done as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
You want five games in this one, and you want to be done with it so you can move on to the next one. Because if he is going to have to carry him like this, you don't want him doing it 7-7-7.
Right.
Because that's just not going to work.
I would say, ideally, James Harden wouldn't have played 41 minutes in their first playoff game against the 8 seed. That wouldn't have been the case. But they didn't have any other offense besides him in the second half.
No, without him, they would have had no chance.
So it's less on what there's really not much you can say bad about James Harden, the game he had. But Trevor Ariza, you got to get more out of that guy. Eric Gordon sucked.
Yeah, he was
brutal. You've got to get more out of those guys, because if Chris Paul's going to be that, which it's hard to imagine him being worse than he was last night, and if Capella's going to vanish again in the second half.
Well, that's a thing.
Somebody's got to do something besides James, right?
Yeah, and the reality is, the whole second half was pretty much Harden, because Capella, what did he score, 4 points in the second half?
I think so.
Yeah. And you know, all these people talk, the whole step back three going far, oh, he should have traveled. Did you guys watch the whole game? I mean, Clint Capella took seven steps on a fast break in the second half. The Karl Anthony Towns thing was clearly a travel. I mean, they don't call traveling in the NBA. And to take that and go viral with it, Stop it. Blame Michael Jordan. Ever since him, they've never called traveling. He changed the rules.
And that step back, if you really, really want to nitpick it, it's on the edge of traveling, but it's not, because the first couple of steps he takes, it's on the gather. And if you take steps on the gather, it's not technically step one. So when after he gathers the ball, then he takes a step, and then so it makes it look like he took four steps, but it's not really traveling. But yes, everybody's been pointing that out today.
Yeah, it's terrible. He should have been. No, it's not. That's just the way the game's played now. And the really bad one was on the fast break to Capella, where he caught the ball outside the free throw line. Did anyone else notice that? And he took like two steps adjusting the ball, and then two more steps before he dunked it. It was at least four steps. But we're going to complain about that one.
Well, it's hard to bitch about any traveling again.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Honestly, it's like holding in the NFL. You can find it every play.
Yep.
You just look for the blatant stuff. And that wasn't blatant. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we're back on the Blitz. So one more thought on this, and one other reason why, I'm not too worried. Rockets Rockets bench versus Timberwolves bench. We thought that'd be kind of a mismatch.
You would think.
It was.
For the Timberwolves,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I think Derrick Rose scored as many as the Rockets bench did.
Yeah, it was 38 to 16.
Yeah, it's exactly then. Derrick Rose 16, Rockets bench 16.
Yeah, so that was not good either.
Derrick Rose 16, Chris Paul 14. That's also unexpected.
Mm-hmm. That's going to happen, then they're going to be in the series.
They are.
But I don't think that's going to keep happening, but we'll see.
I think the
game two adjustments are always interesting in any series.
What I do think is the Timberwolves are good enough to win a game off these guys.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think that they're going to sweep them, but I think that I'm not worried about the Rockets.
Yeah, I also think that might have been their game last night to win too.
Could have been,
but we'll see. If the Rockets start regular seasoning the Wolves like they did, I think then they could sweep them. But I do expect Minnesota to win a game. Two tops. I could see them winning two. Unless Harden comes out and blows an ankle in game two. And then I could
see anything more than two is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And a lot more to get to. And a lot of I got a chance to listen to some of the shows today. I listened to Lance and John a little bit this morning, and they were talking about the Astros. And I know it sucks to lose two games to a AAA team like the Arlington Rangers, but this little stretch they've had, it's basically been the bullpen's blown some games, and they're not hitting. But if you remember, they went through a stretch early last year where they weren't hitting. So I don't want to give the it's too early to panic speech, but I think they're going to be fine. I'm not too worried about them. You know, the starting pitching's been really good with a few exceptions. And, you know, the bullpen's been shaky. Well, the bullpen was shaky at times last year. So, plus, when you just kind of look at who's not hitting, I don't think there's too much to worry about.
Yeah.
Because George Springer's always streaky, right? Right now he's not on a good
streak.
No, and he's not going to continue to hit .203. Alex Bregman is probably going to hit better than .226, I would think.
You would think.
And now,
but the thing about Bregman, everyone was like, "Oh, well, this is going to be his breakout year." I don't know.
It may still be his breakout.
It could
year.
Be,
and it may not. But
and as far as Springer, I think last year was his breakout year. I think that last year was as good as George Springer can be. So if he comes down to earth a little bit, it's not going to shock me at all.
But if down to earth is still .260 and
you take it,
a buttload of home runs, you're happy. But those guys are going to come around. Now I
will say it's concerning that Bartolo Colon almost threw a perfect game against you. I mean,
that wasn't good. That's not what we call ideal.
No.
But and I know Granato talking about their strikeouts are way up so far this year.
Yes.
And I think that's an issue too. But I think they'll make adjustments. The only thing I would say is I don't know if Marwin Gonzalez is. I think last year was an aberration, and so I don't think you're going to get that year out of him again. But I also expect a healthy Correa to kind of make up for some of that. And Fisher's not hasn't done anything yet, but he's only had 28 at bats. So
yeah.
I mean, it's
it's just like you've gotten poor performances from Bregman, Springer, Marwin, Gaddis. Like, did anybody think that Brian McCann? Do you think Brian McCann's going to hit .313 for the whole season?
That's kind of isn't that what he did last year? Though he started off really well, and then he just kind of found his level, which is what you expect. But I don't think there's a whole lot of people you're looking at going, "Oh, he's overperforming." And Altuve, you expect him to hit .340.
Yeah,
you might expect him to have a home run by now after last year.
Yeah,
because
that's the other thing overall about this team. Ball's not flying out of the yard like it did last year. And Reddick's hit more than expected. I don't know. I don't have the exact numbers, but Reddick's hit more than expected. I think he's got three.
He's got three, yeah.
I think Springer has three, maybe four. And nobody
Springer
else.
Springer has three.
Nobody That's else it. Has three.
Correa's got two, and Mariznick, of all people, has two.
And his two were like the first 2 days of the season, I think.
Yeah.
So there's some concern there because that's what this team. That's what they won with last year. They they beat the hell out of the ball. And if they're not going to do that, and it, now, I mean, that's the great thing about this team. They're good enough to rely on their pitching to win games, if that's what it boils down to. But you just kind of expect them to hit, and eventually they're going to hit. Teams that hit well, eventually will figure it out.
Yeah.
To me, the biggest concern is the division is better than it's been. Last year, your division was a joke. This year, the Angels are pretty good.
Yeah, the Angels are going to be.
And the Mariners ain't bad.
Yeah, and you get to see the Mariners, but.
The Rangers, I mean, I don't think much of the Rangers. And again, I'm not going to like panic because you lost a series to the Rangers.
Right. That's not a good team you lost to. But you also blew a 5-1 lead. And last night you couldn't hit Bartolo Colon, who's 96 years old.
Yeah.
So those things are going to happen. And
But I do think that it's going to be a tougher road to hoe this year because the division is just better. And you know who else is seeing that a little bit, I think, is the Dodgers. The Giants went out and made a bunch of improvements. The Padres made a bunch of changes. The Rockies and Diamondbacks are both pretty good. Like, it's just not – you're not going to win 100-something games every year. It's almost impossible to keep up that kind of a pace. And I don't think the Angels are going to go, you know – I don't think they're going to go win 105 games.
No.
But they're pretty damn good. And again, I think the Mariners are good. It's going to be,
but
it's not going to be a runaway like it was last year.
Well, I still feel pretty good about their chances. I'm not going to, I don't want them to be at their best right now. I want them to be at their best later in the season. And I think that's during the whole course here, you're going to have Springer's going to get hot and probably win some games with his bat for you by himself. And there's a lot that we'll see develop over the next couple of months. So I think they're doing fine. I'd like to see the bullpen actually win some games and be a plus for them. And it's been pretty much everybody that they've tried has failed to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, Peacock, who's everybody's darling, has not been that great either.
Struggled.
But sooner or later, like if you remember, Davinsky was unhittable last year at the beginning of the season, and then he got hittable, and then it was Will Harris. And there's going to be somebody that they can rely on, and it's just – that'll pop up.
The beauty of it is Davinsky's been pretty solid.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is Charlie Morton, Garrett Cole, and Justin Verlander, even for what Verlander's expectations should be, I think you could say that all three of those guys are outperforming expectations so far.
Oh, yeah.
Keuchel and McCullers, not so much. But... It's what, three starts?
Yeah. It's just not enough to. Yeah, it's not enough to. And I think it's just a matter of when Keuchel struggles with his control or he gets squeezed, that's where he tends to have problems, and he's had that happen. I think they're going to be fine. I think
tonight will be interesting because the Mariners have a lefty heavy lineup, which should be good for Dallas Keuchel, but the Mariners are also pitching arguably their best guy and James Paxton, another good lefty. I'll be interested to see how they hit tonight. If the bats wake up tonight, if they couldn't hit Bartolo.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what they do against James Paxton, a guy who can actually pitch. I'm not going to panic about it. I still think the Astros win the division, but I just think it's going to be tougher this year than it was last year.
It was a cakewalk last year.
It was too easy last year.
So that's not exactly a bold statement, but I agree with you.
But most years, if you say, I'll give you a 10-6 start, that you're 1/10 of the way through the season, I'll give you a 10-6 start. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on pace to win 100 games,
you'll be okay.
If you think this last week was bad, there's going to be worse weeks than this over the course of the season. There'll be a lot of good ones.
There were last year.
Yeah.
They had some bad stretches, especially early. Once they kind of get in a groove, it's all good.
Let's talk at like the 40-game mark. Like that's when we can say, okay.
Yeah, I'm a big July 4th guy is when you can really tell. But
I'm going to be off that day.
Are you?
So let's talk on July 3rd.
Okay. We'll do it on I'm actually going to be off on the 4th as well.
Okay.
So whoever's here can talk about it. It'll probably be some national guy. All right, we're going to take a very...
Patrick Creighton. He'll be doing 9 hours that day.
Trade Dallas Keuchel. Oh, that wasn't him. Never mind. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Time to get on the map. SportsMap.com, your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports. Lots of good stuff on there today, so go check it out. Your main story right now is an NFL draft preview video with Robin Carlin and Lance Zierlein. They talk about Marcus Davenport.
Okay.
So Lance looks a little creepy in that video. He's kind of got that...
He does that pose that you do, like you're an undertaker.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it looks creepier like when I do it than he does it.
Your
I mean,
fingers go connected, and then you like you shrug your shoulders in, and then hold your hands down,
and kind of look down.
It is weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's weirder when I do it. I mean, he looks more natural.
You guys both gross me out. To be honest,
that's okay. And we probably gross Robin out too. But and I did five thoughts on the Rockets win over the Timberwolves, which we talked about a little bit earlier. That's on there. Joel Blank's got kind of a breakdown of the Timberwolves and how they'll not be an easy out for the Rockets. We have the story that Hoffman wrote where he asked me 10 questions. Ken Hoffman, not A.J. Hoffman.
Let's not make Ken Hoffman a one-name Jack here.
Hoffy. He's Hoffy, though. You're not Hoffy.
No, I'm not Hoffy.
You would not go for Hoffy.
No.
In fact, you would be offended by that.
I won't tolerate that.
He basically did 10 questions with me, which for some reason... I was doing really well. I don't know why. Game by game, look at the week that was for the Astros. Basically, the bullpen and bats underperformed. So, and then Holly has a sorry, Johnny Manziel, this isn't your year video. And then I also, a couple other things that are on there that, I mean, there's just so much stuff we've added today. I did five under the radar horses to keep an eye on for the Kentucky Derby, just for those five of you who are interested. I've kind of narrowed it down to five horses that will not be the favorite.
Okay.
That I'll be watching for their workouts here leading up in the next 3 weeks. But the points race has ended this weekend. And I've been colder than all of my ex-wives combined lately on horses. So
that's impossible.
It's going to turn around, though. I can feel it. And the Dez Bryant, would he be a fit for the Texans from Brian O'Donnell? Also on the site. And then a lot of high school stuff that we've added over the course of the day from Vipe. So... very busy day on Sports Map. If you get a chance, go and check it out. There's always something there for somebody. Whatever you're into, we pretty much have you covered on Sports Map. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I'm going to try to squeeze in a call here before the top. It's up to you.
I guess.
All right. Well, we'll see. If it's bad, we won't do anymore. Brian, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, Sports, fellas.
Sports, sir.
Hey, I'm a Thunder fan, and I think it's pretty easy to say that they underperformed this year. And I'm not blaming the whole thing on Billy Donovan, but I think he's kind of an average coach at best. So if you're the Thunder, what do you do with him next year? I like David Fizdale, who's out of a job. Do you hang on to Donovan? What do you do if you're them? And I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, well, I'll say this. I don't think they're going to be in any hurry to move on from Billy Donovan, because whatever you think of Billy Donovan, he's a way better coach than Scott Brooks was, and they kept Scott Brooks forever. Even when it was like pretty clear that Scott Brooks had no idea what he was doing, they were like, he's our guy. So
why don't you start thinking about this in about a month? Why don't you see what actually happens in the playoffs? I mean, if they get to the second round and then upset the Rockets, you're going to be talking about getting rid of Billy Donovan?
I doubt it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's another one of those way too early.
I think Billy Donovan.
Do you think the Texans should consider benching Deshaun Watson? I know camp hasn't started yet, and I know we don't know if his knee's okay, but they've got Joe Webb. What do you think?
I think that Billy Donovan is actually a pretty good coach.
Yeah, I don't know if they've underperformed.
I got to tell you, if you're expecting them get back to 55 win seasons, well. That might happen if you get Kevin Durant back, but Paul George and Carmelo Anthony aren't enough to make up for losing Kevin Durant. It's just not. And you're not going to be as good of a team without him. He was the best player in that franchise on that team. And Russell Westbrook's fine. I mean, he's a stat monster, but he's probably not winning you a title.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird question when you just won game one of your series.
Yeah. Billy Donovan is in his 3 years in OKC, 55 wins, 47 wins, 48 wins. There's a lot of guys who will take that. A lot of teams would take that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with that. Wasn't a really good way to start with the calls.
He's a Thunder fan. I mean that's you're great, a little harsh on your guy. But,
well, I mean, but after you just won a playoff game.
That is an odd time to bring
up. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a question you bring up when you're eliminated.
Right.
And especially if they get swept in the first round, then you might have a valid point. But you have no idea what's going to happen. They win this series, and maybe they upset the Rockets, and suddenly you're in the conference finals, and you're like, maybe this isn't such a bad deal. All right, you know what? This is where I go to OU Mike to either ruin it for all callers or to salvage it. I'm going to go more likely the former, here we go. Go, OU Mike.
Fred, if you need any writers for a sports map, I've got a great story about this guy from Nantucket. Great show, guys.
Yeah, no, we're okay. That was about what I thought it was.
About right. Who's that? Mr. What?
Irrigation.
Mr. Irrigation?
Hey.
Is that your God-given name? Is that your Christian name, sir?
Well, no, it's just actually what I do for a living.
Okay.
So, got a couple of pretty cool fields under my belt. One of them was known as Enron Field at one time.
Okay.
So, that one sits up there at the top of my resume when I pass it out. Enough about that. I did enjoy that comment you made about the five people who might be looking at what you have to say about the Derby. I'm definitely going to be one of those five. Just wanted to ask maybe a real quick question about that. Maybe of two of the horses you're looking at, would that be Good Magic and maybe Bolt the Oro?
Well, the beauty of that is it's in the article that I wrote.
Ah, there you go.
So, yeah, that's why, and it's kind of why I wrote it, because nobody wants to hear about it on the air. But it's a pretty good guess. Those are two of the horses that are on the list. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, you know what? We're going to share some good news with the listeners.
Okay.
I think that's a good time to do it, don't you?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.